Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the streets of Chicago. I look over to my right, and lo and behold, it's the great one, Doug Tonis. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. Better than the beloved bull, as you like to say.
It's dark times, isn't it, DT? I don't know about you, but last week after they moved Zach LaVine, I fully expected more moves to happen. And embrace those moves and embrace the rebuild, embrace the tanking, the full effort by the org to go all in and trying to have the worst record as possible and go, you get involved in a Cooper Flag sweepstakes if possible. That's not what happens. They just trade Zach LaVine, who this org for a long time has portrayed as a problem. Never really understood it. On the list of Bulls problems, he came in about 9 or 10. But here we are, lo and behold, they didn't move anyone else but Zach LaVine. What say you?
Yeah, I don't know if you saw Stefan Noh's like list of things he thought the Bulls should do.
I didn't. I agreed with everyone.
And the Bulls said the exact opposite of each one of those things. So, exactly. You know, like, number one, don't panic about the pick you owe to the Spurs. Number two, keep Zach LaVine. Number three, trade Vooch for anything. Number four, trade Kobe White. Number five, trade Ayo Dosunmu, and number six, trade Lonzo Ball. And, you know, I probably would have done all those things. I might have done the Zach trade anyway, but I would have been okay if we kept him and played to the offseason to see if there was something better there. I certainly would have tried to get something other than our pick back. But yeah, it was like the exact opposite of the Steph No trade deadline. So I just thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, the longer we've kind of like gone away from the Zach trade, to be honest, Doug, the more angry I get. Especially when the news subsequently follows that they signed Lonzo Ball, and I understand, you know, I was probably one in 100 who was not happy with the signing. And I've kind of talked about it over the past few years. Although Lonzo's a great guy, and I really am, I admire everything he's done to get back into basketball shape and actually return it. You got to be one horrible person not to appreciate that and feel excited about it. I just want to be out of the Lonzo Ball business. He is a good player, and he helps us win too much when we should be embracing a full rebuild. And so that's more of the issue for me is, like, I don't think it's beneficial to have a player like Lonzo Ball on the team because he's going to help us win, number one. But number two, I would argue that his value was at his highest point at this trade deadline. If he's hurt next year, I know people will say, well, it's an expiring deal. I don't think that's what teams want in this day and era. And it's definitely not what the Bulls want because there's so many limitations on what you're going to get in return. I just feel like you could have got a number one pick for him. That report came out later. How do you not look at that and make that move? It's insane to me that the Bulls didn't go ahead and take a number one pick for Lonzo Ball. What say you?
I like the signing. Let's shelve the pick thing for a second. Just talk okay about the extension and treat those as two separate things because I'd have been happy trading them for a pick too. But I like the signing or the extension. It's 2 years, but the second year is a team option, which isn't real common in these days. It's $10 million per year, so it's like half the salary he has now. I mean, you got to think, Fred, if he makes it to the offseason and he's healthy in the summer, you know, he's worth more for 1 year at $10 million than 1 year at $20 million, which is what you're trading him this year. Plus, the other team, if he makes it through that season healthy, has an option for him for the next season for $10 million, which would be really cheap if he manages to stay healthy. I think we're both probably pretty nervous that he won't manage to stay healthy for a lot of reasons, right? Just looking at his history. But if he makes it to the offseason healthy, he's going to be worth more in the offseason than he was at the trade deadline just because the salary is half as much and now has this beneficial team option on the end. And you know, the end of the season's like, what, like 30 games away? And he's probably not going to play back-to-backs anyway, so he's maybe even only slated for like 25, and he's been out for the couple before the All-Star break. I think it was like illness he was out with, but like something that didn't seem concerning or his wrist or something, but like not like, oh, his knee's flared up again. So, you know, I feel like there's a really good chance he makes it to the summer, and then he's just worth more. Now, if we separate out the pick part, and we just talk about the extension versus if we just left him on the roster and didn't agree to a deal, would you like the extension after I just explained it that way?
No.
Or would you still rather just have him be off the roster.
Here's why. I feel like the way he was playing this year, that he impacts winning. The Brooklyn Nets won three in a row. We're like within shouting distance of the Nets passing us, which would be a miracle. Why is he on the team? Why do we want to win more games for the rest of the season?
So you actually think Lonzo Ball is going to win us enough games the rest of the year to change
By every metric, he's one of the top.
I'm not arguing. I'm just saying you think he's going to win us on his own enough games the rest of the year to change our draft position.
Not on his own, but the difference between him
on the roster or not on the roster. Not to say like he's going to single-handedly score 75 and whatever, but like the difference between him being on the roster and not on the roster, you think will be the difference in lottery placement.
I do feel like Lonzo could help us win more games for the remainder of the season and potentially cost us one slot. Yes, I do. That's why partly I was so angry, but the major reason is because, again, I feel like this was the highest value that he would have had. So, I understand
well,
your point.
Why it's higher.
Hold on one second. Let me just say one thing. Every argument I've had with somebody about Lonzo Ball, and because, I'm against the masses in this one, starts out with the comment, if he stays healthy. If that's your first comment, you've lost the argument.
Well, he's been healthy all year.
No, he's been healthy this year. He's missed.
Yeah, yes.
What are you talking about? He missed nine games.
Did you know the average player in the league plays 65 games now? Like Lonzo is on par for like an average season. He's not had any major injuries.
No, that's not true. He's not an average season. He's already missed. Let me look this up. Lonzo Ball has played 30 games. The Bulls are at 53. He's missed 23 games. Doug, I don't understand this. Am I in bizarro world here? This is like the third person I've talked to this week talking about how healthy he's been this year. He hasn't been healthy. He's played 30 games. What are we talking about?
He was designed out for – he had the one injury early in the season for the wrist, which was not something you thought was going to be a long-term thing or problematic injury. And he's set like designed back-to-backs out for the
he's
most
12th part. On the team in games played.
That's fine. Like I nothing this year that has happened is going to scare people off next year on his health.
Not yet.
Yeah, sure. If he screws up his knee, I agree with you. But if he doesn't screw up his knee, then he's going to be on a way better deal next year in the offseason than
Steph
he was at the trade deadline.
Said it was a ticking time bomb, and I agree with him.
Well, I mean, I agree with Steph in the sense of like a lot of his general thoughts, but Steph's not a doctor. And the entire surgery, the point of the surgery was they replaced everything in his knee. It's like all new. And I told you this before the season started. I don't think he's going to come back and play well because no one's come back from this. And I'm just one of these guys who thinks like if you're betting on someone to be the first, like it's just a bad bet. Someone will probably win that bet eventually, but they'll lose it like 10 times before they win it. So I didn't think he was going to come back. But what I also said is if he comes back, you know, like everything in his knee is new now. He's got cartilage. He's got a full meniscus. He's not someone who's torn, like shaved it off five times. You know, he's not like had a bunch of cortisone shots to like, you know, just slowly eat away at the cartilage left in there. And so, you know, as it turns out, like I'm willing to bet on his health being relatively the same for the remainder. Like he's got to make it through like 25 games. And I think I'm willing to bet on that. And if he does that, he's going to be worth more in the offseason than he was at the trade deadline. The contract is half the value and the team option is worth more. So you're going to get him for two playoff runs. Like it's just going to be worth more.
Can I whisper something else that you know nobody wants to hear or admit? I agree. He's got one of the highest IQs out of any NBA player in the league. He's an incredibly intelligent player. I love watching him play. But in his he's played 647 total minutes this season. I'm just going to say it. I think he's lost a step. It's pretty clear to me that he's not as good as he was. He's not as good of a single one-on-one defender as he was. A lot of the great stuff he does, you know, reaching around, tipping the ball out, just incredibly good anticipation. But he's not as good as he was.
Okay, so he's lousy, but he is going to increase our odds of winning games. I just want to make sure that I have both of your arguments perfectly in alignment. You're going to tell me how bad he is, so it's not worth anything in the offseason. But you're also going to tell me he's so good he's going to change our standings.
I'm not saying
Well, you just said he's not so good.
He's not as good.
I would say he's gotten better as the season has gone on.
Good duck.
And so because of that, if you envision that trend, you know, towards the end of the season, like he's just going to be worth more in the offseason. That's all.
All right. If he stays healthy.
If he stays healthy.
So that's your bet. My bet is he won't stay healthy. But
my bet is he'll stay healthy and we won't trade him.
The reality is.
Well, like, he'll be worth more and then we won't trade him. That's what my bet is. We'll get
to lead the young guys.
We'll get a way better pick in the offseason than we would have this trade deadline, but we won't take the trade.
To lead our young guys that have been in the league for 5 to 6 years. That makes a lot of sense. But let's get in reality. The reality is, according to John Hollinger, there was a number one pick on the table for Lonzo Ball. And in most likelihood, that was the Memphis pick.
Yeah.
Which, because John Hollinger is very well connected with Memphis. He used to work there. He gets a lot of inside information from them. I think we all agree. Let's just assume it was Memphis. Maybe it was Minnesota. Maybe there was another team.
I don't see how it could be Minnesota. Like, if you look at their roster, like, I don't know who they would have traded to match salaries. Like, maybe if there was some bigger three-team trade, but it's hard to envision what that was. The Memphis pick seems like it was for sure on the table because Memphis made this exact trade. Like, they traded Smart for two expiring guys who are worse than Lonzo. Like, given that Memphis is actually doing well, they would have much preferred Lonzo in that trade. And they gave up a first and they got back a second. And so clearly the Bulls could have done that trade with Memphis straight up, and they would have preferred our version of that trade to their version.
Agree. So you would admit then, if that trade was actually on the table, what is your thinking? Why in the world would you pass on that deal?
Because I think the number 26 pick in the draft is probably not really worth much. And, you know Memphis is going to be good. So I think I just think you'll get a better pick this offseason than that pick. I would have, like, given all of the things we talked about, I'd have been totally happy if they made that trade. So I'm not trying to say, like, oh, I would hate this trade. I view it more as a toss-up than you because I think we can get more this offseason. But like I said, my bigger concern is I don't think they'll trade him this offseason. You know, I think they could get a better pick this offseason, but I think they'll just keep him. And that's, to me, the worst-case scenario of this. And so, you know, trying in this grand world of if I was running the team, I would have been tempted to keep him and trade him in the offseason, but only because I think I'm going to get more. I definitely want to get out of the Lonzo Ball business, like you said, like long-term. It just isn't the thing that I want to commit to.
I just think it's a massive gamble. To me, that's not worth it when you have a number one pick on the table.
It's not that big a massive gamble because the number 26 pick just isn't worth much. Like, it's just not. It's just not. Like, just saying number one pick is just irrelevant. Like, number one pick, if it's number three, is worth a lot. Number one pick, when it's worth 26, you're like a stone's throw from the second round.
When you're
like, it just isn't worth much.
With very little assets, draft assets now, that's how teams get things done. That's how the Knicks got things done. They had a bunch of late first rounders that they somehow turned into, you know, bridges. And it's important to have those.
But we
picks.
Weren't going to do that this year, right? Like, we weren't going to do that this year. So if you want to do that, you needed a pick that's further out in the future. Or you could maybe draft someone, and then like later on, you've got extra picks.
Else. I understand what you're saying, but I just want draft assets, especially first round.
I agree with you. Look, I agree with you. We've talked about getting draft assets a lot, right? Like, I've been Mr. Pro get draft assets guy. I'm just saying this particular draft asset is pretty bad. And so it doesn't mean I don't want it. It just means, like, it's not an exciting draft asset to where I'm like, oh, wow, I can't believe we gave that up. I mean, it's probably going to be like a nothing player, and I think we have a good chance of getting something better in the summer if we choose to pursue it. But yeah, I'd have taken it. I'd have taken it with these guys if I could have forced them to take it, only because I'm so confident they won't do something better later. Because I just never would bet on them to do something better.
Where would you rank Lonzo Ball on this current roster?
I don't know. He might be like the best player on this roster.
There you go. So, for a team that should be trying to lose every game, for a team that should be trying to lose every game for the remainder of the season, it makes zero sense for me they're still in the roster. Vucevic,
I think it's going to be super hard for them to win any games. Like, Vuce is just awful now.
Yeah, but
and people now will realize how much Zach was carrying them when you play second half of the season play.
No, they won't.
Well, people who really watch will see it, right? Like you and I. Like, I mean, it was ugly the first two games without him. And they just don't have the scoring punch anymore. Like, it's like Zach could just shoot him into games every once in a while. And they just don't have that now. Maybe Kobe will do it, like, once every four games or something. But, like, You know, that's it's going to be tough. And then it's only Kobe. There's not like a second option who might do it. So it's tough. I don't know where they're going to find offense. And as you've noted a lot, like their defense is just so bad. Like they've got nothing there either. So, I mean, I'd say right now they're, I don't know that they're Washington Wizards bad or New Orleans Pelicans bad, but they're pretty bad.
What really bothers me about the Bulls and what they did is just let's talk about the ball trade. It came out. We're not taking on extra salary. We're not taking on salary. They had no problem taking on Kevin Huerter and Zach Collins, who make basically is just a tad under what Marcus Smart makes for this same period of time just to get Zach LaVine off the roster. Like, that makes zero sense to me. This idea that these contracts for Huerter and Collins next year are going to be worth something in 2025, 26. Yeah, somebody's going to trade for that. Totally ignores the fact there's a lot better players that are on expiring deals for the same amount. Norman Powell, Colin Sexton, Jordan Clarkson, Rui Hachimura, Mitchell Robinson, Robert Williams III, Daniel Gafford, DeAndre Ayton, all on expiring contracts next year. They're all better players than Huerter and Collins. I don't understand the logic that you just feel, I got to get Zach off the team, but you're going to keep Vooch? You're going to keep Ball? Why? Why are they still on the freaking team?
Yeah, I think they couldn't get rid of Vooch.
You couldn't get rid of him? Is that what your guess is?
I think that's my guess. I mean, we don't know, right? But I didn't see any firm offer that was out there. There's like some rumors about Golden State and didn't seem like it ever came to fruition.
I think you're right on that.
I just don't think they could get Vooch off the roster. Like, or they couldn't for anything that like we would care about. Right. Like, I don't think they could just trade him for expirings. Like, I think if they could do that, they should have done that. And I kind of think they would have done that.
I hope so. I don't know that though.
But it's hard to say. They might not have because like, whatever. I would never like accuse this organization of doing the logical thing. So maybe they would have not taken that deal if it was on the table. But I don't know that it was. So like Vooch, I feel like maybe they were just stuck with. I think it's disappointing to me that they didn't trade Kobe or Io. I think that's the biggest thing. Like, if you wanted to load up on draft assets, I think those were the guys that were going to get you something. And then, like, you know, with a little bit of time to think about it, it's disappointing that we didn't trade Zach for a pick other than our own. Yeah. Like, we probably could have just kept that one anyway. And, you know, now we're...
You talk about Ball. If he stays healthy, which I don't think he will, but let's assume he is healthy. Sure. He's going to get more. He's going to be more valuable this offseason, according to your argument. He's making $10 million a year. Why would Zach LaVine not be more valuable at this offseason?
He might be. I would have been fine. Maybe the bigger challenge with Zach is I think Zach helped you win more games. So if you did want to chase picks, it's like there's maybe a greater argument for Zach. But I'd have been okay keeping Zach too, especially if we did the other trades. Like we traded Io, we traded Kobe, we traded Vooch, traded Ball. Like if you moved all those guys and it was like Zach in a pile of nothing,
yes,
you know, Zach would probably get pissed off, and then he'd have like faked an injury or something, and then we just sat him anyway.
That was Steph's argument. Yeah. I agree with it. That's my argument too. That's generally what I'm getting at the more aggravated I am about this. All you got was your own pick back, and everybody acts like, oh, we should clap that and be excited about that. They're more than likely weren't even going to get it back.
People are excited about it.
Doug, they were going to be bottom 10. It's possible they could have been 11th. That was my point. Is in reality, all they did was trade Zach LaVine to prevent them from the remote possibility of being 11th overall and handing that to San Antonio. It protected them from that embarrassment. That's what it did.
It protected them from giving them the 9th pick next year too.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Like, and so I mean, I think this year we were going to keep that pick either way, but next year when you get to 9th, I think that becomes, and the year after is also top 8 protected. That's where, you know, it becomes a little dicey, because even if you're like the 7th best record now, you have a fair chance of having two teams behind you move up ahead of you because the lottery odds have changed so much. So,
but if you do it right, like, if you do it right, they should have been bottom 8 next year too.
Yeah, you would have had to be bottom 5 to guarantee, like in record, to guarantee you weren't going to give up your pick.
Yeah,
I think that's the tricky thing now, is it's just like the odds have changed so much. So if you're the seventh worst team, then you could still easily end up picking ninth because two teams pass you in the lottery. And so I think that's the other part of this that makes it a little more tricky. And you'd have needed to be, you know, in that spot 2 years in a row after this. So there's some chance you're going to give up the pick. Either way, I'm like nitpicking a little bit. I generally agree with you. I would have been happier with the Zach trade. Like, I don't mind it. I'm not applauding it. I don't mind it. But I would have been happier if they made all these other trades we just talked about. Like, you know there are offers for Kobe. You know there are offers for Io. You know those offers included first-round picks. Like, I'd have taken those deals. I'd have taken the Lonzo deal. And if I could just get Vooch off the roster, I'd have done it. But if it was just Vooch and the guys we have left, that's also fine. Like, I don't really care. But yeah, we're gonna start whatever rebuild we have and with the guys we have. And the most likely case is we're going to get into the bird rights trap with Io and Kobe. We're going to overpay Giddy. And we're going to be locked into, like, some version of the team that's on the floor now. And that's going to be really bad. Like, you know, and I like Kobe and I like Io as rotation players, the guys I root for and cheer for and hope they do well. But, like, they're not top three guys. And you're going to then have to deal with them as unrestricted free agents who are, like, 26 years old or so. And it's, like, 26, 27. But, like, you know, guys who are, like, really young for unrestricted free agents, you know, and I just think that's going to make a scenario where you're either going to have to vastly overpay or those guys are going to leave. And if they leave, you'd have rather had the picks. And if you vastly overpay, you'd still probably rather have the picks because you're not going to be in a position to win with them right away.
Yeah.
So I just think, like, the whole strategy of how they combine all their moves is just very poor, which we've talked about a lot. Yeah. Did you see the press conference?
Yes, I did. And so I know a lot of people are upset about his comments that, you know, hey, if we could get the play-in. In a way, I understand what he was trying to say. His point was, what he was trying to say is if the Bulls make the play-in, it's going to be because one of these young players, you know, stepped up, and that's good. And they need to get that experience. And my counter is, hey, dum-dum, Vooch and Ball are still on the freaking roster. So, no, if we do make the play-in, it's going to be because those two guys play like they've been doing all for this first half of the year to create value and are going to continue to play that way. And it's likely that those two guys are going to lead us into the 11th spot in a worst draft pick in a first-round play-in exit. The idiocy of that statement, just like, oh, it's great for our young guys to get in there. If I hear him tell me one more time about all these guys that are 25 or younger, the vast majority of the league is 25 or under. So don't act like that's some special accomplishment that you've built this young team. None of these guys are they're just a bunch of guys. I'd say Kobe's a good rotation player on a good team. Io, too. Vooch is done. You know, he's shooting about 28% from three over his last 27 games, shooting worse than he was last year. You know, Ball is, who knows how much longer his career is going to go. He's a good player, but it's a good story. But again, I can't believe we're investing in the Lonzo Ball business after his years here so far. And everybody else is just a guy. Doug, I don't know. Give me your comments. I'm going to calm down a little bit, get my thoughts together.
So the press conference, I sort of didn't mind that statement that he made. It just was like what it was. Like, I get it. Like, if Modest stepped up and was, like, amazing, and then you made it to the play-in because he started averaging like 25 and like 5 and 5 or something, you'd be like, all right, I'll take it. You know, and you would, right? Like, if that happened. But I also agree with you, probably not the most likely way it's going to happen. Or it'd be like just a bunch of like little kind of improvements by guys. But whatever, I don't kill him on that. The thing that scared me the most at the end is he said, like, you know, there's a lot of ways to win a championship. Some teams have like three, you know, star players or two star players. And some teams just have 9-10 really good players. And I'm like, no, that's not true. It just isn't true. But, like, it does not even championship teams. Just look at, like, really good teams. Like, if you go around the league and you look at, like, all the really good teams, it's like, for the most part, like, they have three, like, star-type players, 2 to 3 star-type players, And then, yeah, maybe they've got some role players. But no one's got, like, maybe the Knicks are the closest. Where, like, I don't know if you'd view any of their guys as, like, true star players. I mean, like, you know, Towns and Brunson are both, like, in the mix, but they're not. I don't think you'd say either of those guys are top 10. But they're top 25. Yeah, they're top 25, you know, like, you know, but. And then they've got, like, OG and Hart. Yeah, we don't even have a top 50 guy. So I agree. It's just like that statement alone was just like, oh my God. And then like they tried to ask him, like, could you have gotten another pick for Zach LaVine other than your own pick? And he's just like every time they tried to pepper him with a question about like, hey, what other options did you have? He's like, I'm just not going to tell you. And just like every press conference, I picked up on this like right away. Like every time I hear him talk, I'm like, this guy is just dumber than a box of rocks. Like, he is so dumb. Like, every time you hear him say something, you're like, I can't believe you just said that. And the excuse for years was just like, well, he just has to say that. And I'm like, no, he doesn't. He doesn't have to say that. He could say something not dumb. He could even make a similar point and just not sound like an idiot doing it. Like, he just sounds really dumb. And, you know, I don't know if it's like an English is a second language thing, so he's just missing some nuance, in which case, you know, I would apologize. But man, he just does not sound like he knows what he's doing when he talks. Like, his strategy does not sound like it makes any sense. He says things that are, like, just are completely untrue and would you would have to just close your eyes and not have watched basketball for, like, 20 years to even, like, think they might be true. Like, it just, it's insane, the stuff this guy, like, says about how he wants to build this team. And, you know, it's just like, I don't know, like, he still was referencing when Lonzo Ball got hurt, like 3 years ago, like in the press conference, like who the hell is bringing up an injury from 3 years ago? And it's just like, oh, the job is not done yet. Well, no shit. The job hasn't even started yet. Like, you failed the job the last 4 years, like completely. And now you're going to restart the job because you've realized everything you did in your entire tenure here was just a complete shit show. And so you're just starting over with way less assets than you started with the first time. So I don't know. Like, it just depresses me even more.
Agreed. It's just half measures and everything, Doug. Like, you trade Zach. I've really sensed that the Bulls organization has kind of looked at Zach as the problem. How that could, all you hear is that they've tried to trade him for, you know, a year and a half, 2 years. And it's awe-inspiring to me to think that they think that. Like, that he was the big issue here instead of, you know, Vooch and his inability to defend, Josh Giddey and his inability to defend. Like, they're going to invest in Josh Giddey. They really are. You know, it seems like that's what they're going to decide to do. Patrick Williams, they've already invested in. All these guys that have done nothing. But Zach LaVine, who's balled out for the vast majority of his career here, he's a big problem. He makes too much money. He doesn't really make that much money relative to other 20-some point scorers in the league. The guy's a walking bucket. He's a 50, 40, almost 80 guy, 90 guy. Like, and you're all proud that you got your own pick back and took on two horrible contracts. You know, I tweeted this out. Next year, the Bulls are going to pay $75 million to Vooch, Patrick Williams, Collins, and Herter. $75 million. Is there four guys making $75 million worse than those four in the league? Maybe. I don't know. But I'd love to see it.
How about Paul George and Joel Embiid?
Well, if Joel Embiid, I guess you could say that. But, I mean, you know, hopefully they come back healthy. And
I mean, I'm not hoping for that. I mean, I hope for this year they come back super healthy. But Paul George looks just either completely done or like if he's just like, screw it, I'm not trying.
But Doug, think about, luckily, like, I agree. Luckily, though, I mean, I think it's likely that Josh Giddey will be re-signed. In my head, I have a number in my head, $22 million. I think the Bulls are going to re-sign him at $22 million. They're not going to let him go to the market. That's what he's going to get. You're basically going to be playing $100 million to Josh Giddey, Vucevic, Herter, Collins, and Patrick Williams. That's insane.
Well, you're going to try to be bad. So, you know, that seems like a pretty bad. You're going to try to be bad next year, most likely.
That's the thing. I don't think they are. I don't think this idiot is. He's going to be happy with his draft pick. He's going to talk about Modest all day. We are setting this kid up for failure. Everybody's talking like he's I saw some other podcasts talking about, like, is he going to win the Rookie of the Year? I'm like, he's had a couple good games. He's played better lately. Everybody wants to put all his missteps early in the year on Billy Donovan. All you got to do is watch him defensively. He got destroyed against Detroit. Amon Thompson just put his head down, almost knocked him in the first row on the first play of the game. Yes, I'm excited about him. Yes, he's way better. He showed me more in 1 month than Patrick Williams did in 71 games of his rookie season. He's got a long freaking way to go. Guaranteed he's going to be great. I don't know. What do you say?
I don't know that he's going to be good. Before we get into Mattis, I want to throw one more Zach LaVine thing at you. This one just blows my mind. So I don't know if you ever listened to any of these mock trade deadlines people do, where they, you know, get a group of experts and they pretend to be the different teams and the whatever. So Nate Duncan, one of my favorite NBA guys, he does the Dunk Done podcast. It's a premium podcast. You have to pay for it, but I think it's worth it. I love Nate. He had one. And in the mock trade deadline, they traded Brandon Ingram to Milwaukee and extended him for 3 years, $120 million. That was what they came up. So Brandon Ingram actually got traded to the Toronto Raptors, but the extension, they nailed. It was 3 years, $120 million. And I thought about this, and I'm like, how is everyone talking about Zach LaVine as if he's on this terrible deal when after this year, he's got 2 years and like, it's like $93 million left. But Brandon Ingram is going to go in with like $120 million left. Like, I would so much rather have Zach LaVine than Brandon Ingram, because at least he can shoot. Like Brandon Ingram's one of these guys where it's like, oh, I'm a scorer, but I can't shoot. And I'm probably not good enough to be your number one scorer. He's like a DeMar DeRozan who's just younger. And, like, I just don't know what you do with that.
I agree 100%.
Like, on your
roster.
That's
really well said.
And it just blows my mind that, like, everyone's like, Zach LaVine's so toxic. But, like, a bunch of people, like, collectively were like, but Brandon Ingram, he's worth $320 million. And I'm like, I don't see why that's true then. Like, I would much rather have Zach's contract for only 2 years and him as a player than Brandon Ingram. So I just thought that was a weird one.
That's a great point, though, Doug. Like, think about it. Zach LaVine, how much does he make for the remaining 2 years of his contract? How much does he make in a year?
I think it's like 45 and 48 million without looking it up.
48 and 45 million. Like,
something yeah. about that. It's about,
yeah,
like,
and to me, I'd rather ride with Zach and just trade everybody else, and we did the exact opposite. Just because I think in the long run, Zach LaVine's going to have more value than those other guys. Going into the last year of his contract, he's going to be playing at a higher level. I'm willing to gamble that he'll be at a higher level than freaking Vucevic will be next year, or even Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, I don't think they could trade Vuce. Anyway.
Okay. Modest.
Without going down the rabbit hole, we already got to... You know, like, I like Mattis, and I think the talk about him being Rookie of the Year really just comes down to, like, I don't know if you've looked at what all the rookies are doing this year, but it's, like, not a whole lot. Like, so like, if he actually finished the year strong, it's not, like, out of the question that he could maybe make a case for it. He's not going to. Like, I mean, he would have to play, like, way better. But, like, if he averaged 20 points for the rest of the year, he probably would make Rookie of the Year. Like, that's like, which isn't like some insane thing. Yeah, it's not going to happen. Like, I agree. It's not going to happen. I'm just saying it's like the rookies are so bad. Like, it's not entirely like out of reach only because everyone has played so poorly this year. It's not been it was viewed as a poor rookie class. And it's so far through most of 1 year turned out that way. So, but as for Mattis as a player, like, yeah, I don't know what he's going to be. I like him. He's played better with more minutes and just having more time in the league. Defensively, I think he has a lot of potential. Like, he seems like a really smart defender. He's always active. He seems like he's in the right place. Definitely needs to add some strength so he doesn't get thrown out of the way quite so easily. But he's a pretty smart defender. He blocks a lot of shots without getting fouled. Without drawing a lot of fouls. I think his, like, block stock rate, steal block rate, which people call stocks, is pretty high. So I think he's got, like, a lot of pretty decent potential. His shooting has started to come around. He's actually up to 36% on the season from three now, which, you know, from where he started was is really great. So, you know, I like him as a prospect, but, you know, when you look at all the guys on our team, is he more than just a guy prospect? Like, I don't know if there's anything I would see from him that makes me think his ceiling is, you know, star player, you know, and I guess he, you know, so it's like, yeah, if he could be like Io or Kobe or Pat before Pat really sucked, probably better than Pat. But like you pick like a guy like that, like he could be Kobe White or Io or someone who's like, yeah, like I'm a starter, but like not, you know, they're your fourth starter. Like, yeah, I could see that pretty easily. And something more than that, it's in the realm of possibility, but probably not in the realm of likeliness.
What bothers me, Doug, is this report came out. Bulls are open for business. They're going to trade anybody but Modest. And I heard that same crap about Patrick Williams, like I did when he was in his first or second year. Anybody but Patrick Williams. And I'm like thinking, are you telling me if like the Dallas Mavericks called before they talked to the Lakers and said, "Or we want your next four number one picks and Modest Bezelis for Luka"? You're gonna say no? He's not that good. Absolutely, say I would not trade him. He hasn't shown me enough to say that.
Yeah. I think you're getting overly semantic. I think when all they say it like that, I think what all they mean when they say that is like, we are not gonna do, like, we're not looking to sell this player. We're not looking for a reasonable deal for this player. Like, obviously, if someone's like, here's Luka Doncic for Modest straight up, you're going to trade Modest, right? Like, there's no question. Like, it doesn't really mean untradeable. It just means relative to what we think his worth is in the league, we are not going to trade him. I think that's what teams mean when they say this about these young guys. Because they know no one's going to go offer them a star for these guys. Like, that trade's never going to be on the table. So I think what they really just mean is of the types of trades that would be available for this guy, we're going to keep this guy.
Yeah. I just wish the Bulls would have sold as much as possible and done what the Wizards did.
Agreed.
To kind of like, hey, you know what? We'll take on some bad salary for more draft assets. I really think they're better set up for the future than we are. And it just boggles my mind. Somebody mentioned this, like the Bulls traded DeMar DeRozan, Caruso, and Zach LaVine and got, I think they got two second-rounders for DeRozan, and they traded one, unbelievably, in the Zach LaVine trade. So they ended up with all that one second-round pick. It's like, that kind of incompetence is mind-boggling.
When you think about that first-rounder was the pick we sent away to acquire DeMar, you know, it basically means like, yeah, when you think of everything they had on this roster when they started, like going forward, the assets that they have, like things you would think are true assets, right, is probably what? Modest Bouzelis, Kobe White.
Io
Dosunmu. Lonzo Ball, if he stays healthy. I'll throw that in there for you. And that's kind of it, right?
Nothing else.
That's it. And our future picks. Well, our future picks we would have had anyway, right? Like if you just did nothing.
Yes.
Kobe White, they inherited. He was on the roster.
Maybe Jalen Smith is good enough they can get something for.
Oh, yeah. Jalen Smith. Yeah, sorry. Jalen Smith. I'll call his name. So Jalen Smith and Lonzo Ball, you signed with cap space. And so when you think about that, it's like out of those things, one of those guys is a guy you drafted.
And it's the guy like, that, yeah.
You've been on, you've had this team for 4 years, and you basically are like, yeah, I've got a couple like MLE type guys that I signed, you know, and I drafted one guy in 4 years that like I feel I can stick. Maybe that's a little harsh on Josh Giddey, but I don't think Josh Giddey is going to be an asset on whatever deal he signs. So it's just like, that's like terrible. Like you started with Zach LaVine, who at one point was reportedly, teams were talking 2 to 3 first round picks for him, and we didn't want to do it. You gave up 2 lottery picks for Nikola Vucevic, which was a disaster. You gave up our 1 pick and then Thad Young, who got traded for another first round pick. So you still lost a pick, even getting our pick back in the DeRozan deal. Lowry leaves for nothing, who becomes a star player.
No, that's not like, true. We got a protected first that will convey.
Oh, yeah, we got the pick from Portland. That's going to be.
Exactly.
I think Portland's playing better. Maybe there's some hope that one is going to still land in the first round now. It's not as hopeless as I thought. I think we still have like another 2 years.
Okay. So regardless, it sucks.
They might have some chance.
I'd rather have Lauri Markkanen than.
Yeah, it sucked.
It's just a horrible. You can't do any worse in terms of asset.
So bad. So.
And you know what? They got Modis. They're trying to sell that and buy these guys more time because they got Modis at 11.
Yeah, who is projected to go at 5?
My counter is, I just don't think Modis is a sure thing. I think he's good. I think he's got a lot of ability, and I've seen a lot of good stuff to like. But I'm not willing to say he's going to max out as an all-star. I don't think I've seen enough to say that yet.
Even if he is, who cares? I mean, that'd be great. But, like, he was a guy who was projected to go at number 5, and you drafted him at 11. Like, are we really going to proclaim your brilliance, even if you like, got this guy and he ends up being good? Like, you know, it's kind of like just saying, giving them a ton of credit for drafting Io, where, like, you and I for, like 8 picks were like, we should just trade up to get Io right now.
Exactly. Like, I'm sitting on my couch. Okay,
you took the guy screaming, that's like,
I can't believe Io has fallen this far.
So
exactly.
Yeah, so I feel like Bouzelas is a little bit in that same camp where it's just like, this was the super obvious pick to take. Like, the next best guy to take, you know, the guys after that, I felt like you started getting into these like really old guys. Like, Modis was the guy you could take who still had upside, you know, based on age and everything else in the draft and kind of the skills, and you could see how it could come together. And, you know, we're starting to see that now. Maybe the guy who went right after him, Nikola Topic, he tore his ACL right before the draft. He was another guy who was like in the top 5 up prior to the ACL tear. But like, you go after that, and I feel like, I don't know that like any of these guys I think were so great.
There's a lot of anger at Billy Donovan about not playing Dalen Terry and Julian Phillips more. I'm going to go out on a limb and say neither one of those guys is ever going to be a starting quality caliber player in the NBA. I've seen enough already of Dalen Terry.
I haven't. I want to see Dalen Terry play 40 minutes a night.
Well, he won't, because he'll fall out. We're trying to lose games, 25, Fred. Doug. I'm telling you, based on his current rate of fouls. I mean, the guy is a fouling machine.
Well, that's right. That's great. Get the team in the bonus in the first round, or the first quarter. Get the other team in the bonus in the first quarter. That's what we can use Dalen Terry
for. I think it's possible both those guys suck. Julian Phillips is just a guy. He's like a poor man's. Real poor. He's a destitute man's Derrick Jones Jr. That's what he is. He's nothing great. Can't handle a ball. Really good athlete. Sucks at shooting. 32% from 3. I don't know. I just get so sick of the anger at Billy Donovan not playing these guys more. How about do something in the minutes you're given? They never do. They never do. I never, not once this year have I said, holy crap, look how good. Maybe a few times with Dalen, he's done something where I'm like, oh, that was pretty nice. But overall, he's a fouling machine. He does a lot of stuff to just drive coaches. He's the anti-Lonzo Ball. That's what he is. Can't shoot free throws. Another big issue with me. He's a horrible free throw shooter. So it doesn't matter how aggressive he is. Guy sucks. Who cares what we do? Are you going to lose sleep if Dalen Terry is not on the roster next year? Doug, how about Julian Phillips?
No, I mean, I was saying not to pick up his option this year. So it's fine that we have him. Like, he could maybe be like Shaq Harrison or one of those guys who like runs around and plays defense. And, you know, Javonte Green, maybe he could develop into a Javonte Green if he improves his shot. He's got to shoot better to beat Javonte Green. But, like, yeah, like, he could be a guy who hustles and does something. And like, there's, like, sometimes teams that aren't very deep. You know, a guy like that who just has a lot of energy can come in and provide something valuable. So he may have a place in the league, but it's not going to be a valued place.
You know, Dalen Terry and Patrick Williams have the exact same three-point percentage. 35.1.
I would not have had that on my bingo card.
Patrick Williams' year, holy crap, has this been a disaster. But the good news is he's up to 9.1 points per game. He's going to finish right in that 9.9. Good thing that DeMar held him back all these years. So, oh, my God.
Well, now we see what he could do without DeMar. And it's
without DeMar and without Zach. Now it's going to happen. I know it. Oh boy. All right, man. I mean, this is this year. I don't know. I hate this team. I hate watching Booge play. I think I can't stand plotting centers who don't play defense. Who I did like him the first month or two because he was hitting the three at a decent rate. Now he's shooting it back at 28%. I can't stand watching him play basketball. I think he sucks. I mean, nice guy. Everybody loves him. You know, he does some smart things with the ball. Slow as hell. Horrible rim defender. Like, who do you like watching on this team? I guess Modest occasionally, but even him, I get irritated, you know, when he goes 1-for-7 from three. What say you? Who do you like?
No one. I hate watching this team. Like, and look, the rest of this year, who cares? I got to be honest. I don't know if I'm going to be watching games real closely for the rest of the year. I'm going to be watching to see if they won or lost on, ESPN, looking at the standings the next day. It's probably what I'm going to be doing. Like, I mean, it's just... Yeah, just isn't the product worth watching.
Any comments on Kevin Herter before we
go? Oh, my God. I thought, like, maybe, like, he could have a rebound. Like, I'm like, hey, he played pretty well in Atlanta, right?
Yeah,
like,
he was average.
And all of a sudden, he started shooting really bad. And I'm like, maybe he gets to this team. Like, we are just chucking up threes like crazy. Like, he just might find his rhythm. And, like, I don't know if I'd pick him if I was just like at Lifetime Fitness and he was hanging out with us. Like, he just...
I'm definitely picking you, Doug, ahead of Kevin Herter.
He just looks bad.
I believe in your, like, three-point shot.
Man. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know what happened to this guy. Like, he's like, defensively, he fits right in with the rest of our guys. just like amongst the worst in the league at whatever he does. And then offensively, like, yeah, I guess he also fits in with the rest of our guys. Just really bad at everything he does. Like, I don't know. Like, I have already very quickly soured on the idea that, like, maybe Herter could come back. And then, like, I had this hope of, like, he just shoots well the rest of the season. And then in the off season, maybe you can move him to, like, a contending team that wants to dump a multi-year deal but could still use a shooter. And, yeah, no, probably not. Like, maybe you could move him for bad salary just because, you know, then it doesn't matter what he does. But yeah, his on-court value is zero. He is not an NBA.
He's a fantastic 8% from three so far for the Bulls. He's doing good.
Yeah, should be very thrilled at all the money he got. Like, I wish, you know, I could be paid so much to be so bad at something.
Yeah, the good news is we got him for one more year at like $17 million. So can't wait to watch him next year.
Well, it'll be tough to put together a good team next year because we got all these guys using up all the money. So,
the good news is I'm sure there's plenty of teams that want a good expiring deal. That's the most overrated. It's expiring. Yeah, usually a team wants something in return. Doesn't matter about the expiring. There's plenty of good guys that can actually help a team and just get an expiring.
Well, if you want to trade expirings, then you have to be willing to take money back, which also doesn't seem to be like a thing that we're going to do, right? Like, you trade expirings when you want to take back long-term money, and that doesn't seem to be part of our plan either. So, yeah, I don't think those guys are going to be trade assets. I don't really care that they're on their roster either. Like, if we actually were like, we're going to commit to being this year and next year just trying to chase draft picks, one, you should have done that at the start of the season instead of at the deadline, and two, you should have done it better at the deadline. But if that ends up being the case where this year and next year are draft pick seasons, I'm okay with that. It's two really strong drafts. Just wish we would have started chasing the draft pick earlier, you know, as we both said at the start of this year.
Or chasing the draft pick 2 years ago, two and a half, three. It's just a disaster with these guys. And our only hope is somehow, you know, we get a high pick. There are a lot of players. I've started to look at some of the players available in this draft, and there's several I like a lot. This VJ Edgecombe from Baylor, holy smokes. He's a guard. But I can tell you this, he'd be right on top of our mountain of guards right now if we got him. There's a lot of guys I love. Harper I love. This is going to be a good draft. So there is hope, you know, that this is a good year to be bad. Let's just hope that Ball and Vooch don't make us too good. So far, the results are pretty positive that they're not going to make us too good. On that note, let's bring this bus in. It's in a horrible shape and needs repairs. But it's always good to talk to you, DT. Talk to you again soon.
Go Bulls.